Hello and welcome to the Carolina Panthers Football In My Mind podcast. I'm your host, Luke Farber, and what is in my mind today? Well, we suffered another blowout loss on the road last week at the Commanders. It's been a tough season so far, obviously. I don't have to tell any of you that. I was at the casino watching again. I figured the only time I went to the casino was again was our game against Vegas, so we were bound to have some good luck. Well, the first drive looked great until Dalton threw a pick six, and I tell you, my head and my heart just sank as that happened. But I told myself, hey, no, you're here, you're getting to watch your favorite football team. This is a good day. Don't let our difficult season ruin your afternoon. And luckily I didn't. Yeah, it was not a fun watch. And I was glad to be gone when the game was over, but I was still able to mildly enjoy myself. I got a good bartender, Keely, who takes great care of me. And you get little conversations here and there that are worth it. But anyway, let's recap what happened. First drive of the game looked great. We were picking up chunk plays. Dalton was getting a bunch of people involved. Miles Sanders, Jatavion Sanders, Chuba, Deontay. We were moving the ball great, picking up chunk plays. And then on a second down and 10, going left off the line of scrimmage, right in front of the referee, Chuba gets a face mask that is not called. And I hate to complain about the refs because every football player knows it, every athlete that is worth their salt knows it, that the refs don't determine the outcome of the game. Even if they make bad calls, even if they make a bad call at the very last play, they don't determine the outcome of the game. It is up to you as a player and as a coach to perform and make plays regardless of what happens with the referees. That being said, when your roster is challenged and you're a young team, and you don't have a whole lot of margin for error, one little setback like that can start a cascade of system failures that end up to a blowout loss. And that seems to be exactly what happened. Because after that play, after the non-face mask call, we're facing a 3rd and 9 just outside the red zone. We're still in decent shape. But what happens? We call a screen to Miles Sanders and they get too much pressure on Dalton too quickly, and he lets it go before Sanders is ready. And sure enough, it passes right over his shoulder into the waiting arms of a defender who takes it to the end zone. And our day didn't get much better after that. In fact, you could say it got worse. It was 37 to nothing before we scored our first points. But hey, let's see what happened. I mean, obviously, Dalton threw two interceptions in the first quarter. You're not going to win many games if your quarterback turns the ball over twice in the first quarter, and especially if one's returned for a touchdown by the defense. The thing that is difficult about this is, other than that Vegas game, our road performances have left a lot to be desired, especially if you're looking at the last two in Chicago and Washington. Really, those were the games that our offensive line performed the poorest. Those defensive linemen got after us in both of those games, and that's a bit concerning when you're just more up for games at home than you are on the road. There isn't that stamina, that capability, that toughness there yet. Obviously, like I said, young team, new coaching staff, we're not there yet. But we want to see improvement after this year goes along, as this year goes along. We can't be getting blown out 40-7 on the road or at home in another 6 weeks. We don't want to see that. Or if it does happen, just have it be an outlier. We want to be competitive. Unfortunately, it's hard to be competitive when you have as many injuries as we do, but we'll get to that later. Like I said, our offensive line had a poor game. Those are our two poorest games as far as I'm concerned against Chicago and Washington, both on the road. Defensive lines got after us. This time they even shut down the run game. Before in Chicago and all these other games, the run game was still effective. They were able to get to Dalton as a passer, but in this game, we couldn't even get the run going. Chuba only averaged 3.1 a carry, and we only ran the ball as a team 23 times. But of course, if you're down 17 to nothing in the first quarter, it makes it really hard to stick to the running game. You know, in my opinion, we shouldn't be getting far away from the running game no matter what the score is, because we just don't have the personnel to pass it 50 times a game and score 40 points a game. We just don't have that. But we do have a solid running game, and to keep the games closer, to keep us competitive, and to keep the confidence in our team up that can make some plays, we got to lean into that running game. Well, we also had a difficult time pass protecting. We gave up pressures on 50% of the dropbacks, which is way too much. Dalton only got sacked twice, but two interceptions as well. So that's not good. Luckily, we did have a couple of highlights. Let's be positive. Let's find the good in the offensive performance. Chuba had a touchdown in the fourth quarter, and at least we got on the board. We didn't get shut out, so there's a positive. Then JT Sanders finally has a decent game. You know, I think this is a tight end with a lot of pass receiving potential. And he had six catches for 61 yards. Yeah, not ground-shaking, earth-shattering statistics, but a positive sign from a young rookie who, honestly, we need to step up. Other than that, our offense just really didn't get anything going all day long. And that was tough to see, but we move on. We hit the practice field, we keep pounding, we get back to the field. Now, defense. Obviously, our defense is in a really tough spot. Last week, this week, we are signing players off of other teams' practice squads onto our roster, which is a horrible sign. Because not only does that mean that we don't have the bodies on our roster or in our practice squad, number-wise, but also talent-wise. If we're pulling players off other teams' practice squads, ours is not in a good spot. Anyway, back to those injuries. We had three of our four starting defensive linemen out, both of our inside linebackers out, and half of our secondary out. As basically, we have three starters from our team as we started the year out of 11. That's horrible, especially when two of those starters were our two defensive captains and our best players. Derrick Brown, our best defensive lineman, and Shaq Thompson, our best linebacker. We can't win without players. I mean, that's just the way it is. So obviously, we couldn't stop the run. We've been horrible at stopping the run this year. The Commanders had 37 carries for 214 yards, 5.8 a pop. That's horrible. It's unacceptable. You know, if we can't stop the run, teams don't even need to pass. In fact, until the last drive of the game on Sunday, Washington had two passing yards, yet it was 20-something to nothing. If you can't stop the run, you're not going to be able to stop anybody. And it got off to a horrible start, obviously. Luckily, we haven't played too many mobile quarterbacks so far this year, because on the first play, zone read by Jaden Daniels, he takes the ball 46 yards. And it continued with Jaden Daniels while he was in and Mariota is that we couldn't get a beat on the zone read at all. We're always making the wrong read, and they gashed us every time. Unfortunately, with the injuries we have sustained, and the way the play has gone at this point, we have the worst defense in the league. We're giving up the most points in the league. And like I said before, our young, injury-depleted offense as well, it just can't keep up. So really, that's where that running the football as many times as you can, even if you aren't amazingly successful at it, is going to shorten the game and it's going to help your depleted defense. Please, coach, please run the ball. Anyway, that is over. Last week is done. We don't have to see the Commanders again this year. So, what do we get to do? We get to go on the road again to Denver, obviously, the Mile High City. So, not only is it most of the way across the country, but it's also sitting at over 5,200 feet elevation. And that's going to make the defense even more tired. Anyway, that's another thing with this next road game is, are we going to come to play? Are we going to be ready? Are we going to be able to fire off the ball? Or are we just going to kind of get whipped up front like we have the last two road games? I don't know. Is it going to be another blowout? I don't know. But looking at the injury report this week, I mean, says everything. We have 22 players with injury designations, including our starting quarterback, our top two wide receivers, our best defensive lineman. It's a mess. And of course, Denver only has five on their injury report. And so much in the NFL has to do with how healthy you are as a team. So we may be in for another long day. We'll see. Obviously, one of those injuries, Andy Dalton, got in a car accident, unfortunately. He was a little banged up on his throwing hand. So Bryce Young gets a start this week, which I'm not going to say I'm excited to see Bryce play quarterback this week because I don't think excitement is the right word. Am I interested? Absolutely. Do I want to see him play well? 100%. Do I think he will? The cards are stacked against him pretty high. You know, I've already laid out the case with our defense being completely bandaged up and awful. And as I mentioned before, our top two wide receivers are out of this game. So not only does Bryce get to come in for a game on the road against the Denver defense, who is 10th in the league in giving up rushing yards and second in the league in sacks, but he has to do it without his two starting wide receivers, who are the only veterans really on the squad, Diontae Johnson and Adam Thielen, and has got to play with a rookie, Xavier Leggett, another rookie, Jalen Coker, unsigned free agent. Our second year wide receiver, Jonathan Mingo, has seen his snap count go down so far this year because he hasn't been performing. But obviously, he needs to get in there and do something. David Moore, he's a vet, but a fairly limited possession receiver, not a big play kind of guy. So, what are we going to do about this? Well, the O-line has to be great. The O-line has to be great for us to have a chance. We have to run the ball well, and Bryce has to get the ball out of his hand quick. And we're also going to and not only have to be efficient at the quick passing game, but one of the things that Bryce has not done well in his career so far is throw the ball more than 15 yards down the field. He doesn't take shots very often and seems a little timid, and the pressure gets to him very quickly. He is going to need to improve at that vastly today for us to have a chance. We have to throw the ball over their heads, otherwise they're just going to sit on the line of scrimmage and stuff Chuba and those quick passes. And it's going to be really hard to watch because we aren't going to get any traction on offense. If they don't have any fear of us doing something that is going to be profound on offense, it's going to be a long day. So if I'm the coach, I'm dialing up a shot or two immediately. Max protect, get, play action and get Leggett running across the field away from the defense on a deep post or corner and hit him with it, Bryce. We've all seen the little snapshots of practice this week. Like, oh, Bryce is this, Bryce is that, oh, all these throws. You know what? We've seen it before. We've seen it in training camp. We've seen it. We need to see it on Sundays. We need to see it on the field. And like I said, he is unfortunately really going up against rock and a hard place this week with our depleted roster being on the road against Denver, against a really good defense, and against one of the best head coaches in football, Sean Payton. I hate the guy with a passion. But I can't deny how good he is. So, anyway, we're going up against against a tough assignment this week, but we'll just do what we can and see what happens. Obviously, another thing I'm looking for from the offense, hopefully, is can JT Sanders build on his progress from last week? The 6 for 61, can he go over that? Can he get another handful of catches? Can he get in the end zone? That would be awesome to see. Now, obviously, our defense going up against their offense, they don't have an explosive offense. In fact, another one of their wide receivers is out this week because he suffered a gunshot wound this last week, unfortunately. Never want to see that. But the Broncos' strength in offense is their offensive line and running the football and efficient passing with rookie quarterback Bo Nix. And he has been efficient, which is what they need to win the game, especially with a good defense. So I look for the Broncos to run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Because of course Peyton had those great offensive lines in New Orleans and those great running backs, and that's what drove Drew Brees and that offense. It was the running game. So I'm putting it on the defense basically. They got to sell out to stop Williams and that running game at all costs if we're going to have any chance in this game. And like I said, being at mile high elevation, the offense has got to do their best to control the ball and keep our defense on the sideline. That's the only way we're going to have a shot in this game. So run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, coach. Stop the run. Don't turn the ball over. And we're going to need to get to Nix, and we're going to need to get a turnover or two if we have a chance. And yes, we're probably going to get Clowney back, so hopefully the pass rush should be a bit better. But we're still waiting for a bunch of other guys to come off the injured list, and we can't count on a great pass rush. So we're just going to have to be sticky in coverage and play our butts off. That is the one thing in these last few road losses. I haven't seen that energy, especially offensively. And I'm definitely going to be interested to see how the O-line and everybody is firing off the ball this week, especially after the blowout loss on the road last week and having another road game this week. Anyway, like I said before, we got a lot of chips stacked against us this week. It might be a long day. In fact, that's kind of what I'm picking. I'm going to go Broncos 28, Panthers 10. Hopefully, we can see some good stuff out of Bryce. I don't know. But let's try and show some progress with the young guys, with the effort, and give them a good game. And who knows, maybe sneak one out because the Broncos don't have a great offense. If we can just somehow manage to slow the game down and stay close, Maybe we can steal one leg. Anyway, we'll see. Everybody have a great weekend. Keep pounding. Go Panthers. I'll talk to you next week.